Hello, hello.
Hello,
Welcome to GH Sunday Shift. Thank you for joining us. If this is your first time, because I have been hearing people like, oh, we just discovered the channel. Thank you for being here. And if you're a long-time listener, also thank you for being here. You know, we're on YouTube, we're on any place that you get your audio podcasts. So please like, subscribe, and share.
and comment.
And comment. We
We
do
like
read the
comments.
comments. Woo, how are you today, Tanya?
I'm doing pretty good. Had a lovely day at church. We went through a lot of technical difficulties in the background. And so that was interesting with Zoom and all that. Our Zooms are totally easy to do. At church, the Zoom is connected with the sound system, which is connected with the speakers and the music and the band and all of that. It's all complicated. And I was like, yeah, I don't know how to do any of this, but I did the best I could. And so people heard church service today, didn't see it, but it's okay.
There you go.
It's
That's all
all
we need.
good. It's all there. Yeah, but I had a pretty good week. How are you?
I am okay. I'm okay. We were gonna start the top of the show. I mean, I'm sure top of mind for so many people who are longtime GH viewers is the death of Tyler Christopher. That I'm sure that everyone is devastated for. I mean, if you listen to us, you know. That's our Nicholas. We love him. We constantly talked about him. We were cheering on for him after he was on Mo's State of Mind. And I've just always felt like as an actor, he brought something so special to this role that's been really hard to fill after him, period. And just reading the tributes to him and learning about who he was as a man was also really beautiful.
Yeah, I was really, it was shock. It really was because in my mind, we're just getting ready for him to come back to the show and to have that. Have that loss and it be so sudden. It was really jarring. And praying for the family, praying for cast of GH who has
His kids.
his kids and well, I mean, and the whole show that's been experiencing a lot of loss. And so just praying for everyone in this time. Not only, yeah, just a lot of loss. Everyone is experiencing it right now, so
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I found just like really beautiful tributes from some of his former castmates, Kimberly McCullough.
Oh,
She
yeah.
walked and gave tribute. Scott Clifton, who used to play Dylan, had a really beautiful tribute. Jonathan Jackson, who played Lucky, his brother, had a beautiful tribute. And so I find when I am deeply in mourning for anything, it's always helpful for me to read about other people who loved them and maybe knew them in a different way. So if you can if you're looking for that or if that helps you, I would just encourage you to read what folks said about him beyond just him playing Nicholas and who he was as a person. And I think that really speaks to what he brought to Nicholas, like who he was as a person is why we loved his portrayal of this character so much.
Yeah, I was really surprised, but also happy to hear that he had a sense of humor, that he was really funny, and everyone was surprised by that. And I was just like, yes, love that for him and for everyone who knew him. Because, my sense of humor has gotten me through a lot of stuff. And I think having the ability to laugh at yourself, at things, at everyone else sometimes is a great way to, deal with some things. So I'm glad that he had that, and I'm glad that his friends got to experience that.
And for me personally, and we touched on this before we started recording, I also lost a really good friend this week, Adi Barkin, to complications from ALS. I've talked about him a bunch, specifically around the ALS story that GH is telling. And yeah, I mean, he was an inspiration to so many. I'm still absorbing that very personal loss as so many of us deal with massive loss. So if you don't know Adi, just Google him and you will see all of his amazing work around making sure that all of us had healthcare. So yeah, look him up. He was amazing.
You might not have to look very far because Adi was pretty special. He was seemed to be a well-loved and beloved activist, and he's featured in Time Magazine. So if you guys are subscribers to that, I think it would be pretty easy to find him and learn about him and the work that he's done.
Yeah. So. He also was a person who had like a very deep sense of humor that was also very shallow in many ways.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people who didn't know him thought that he became an activist because of his ALS, but he was like such a brilliant mind even before his diagnosis. And he really uses ALS to bolster, you know, the way he was seen. He talked about how it was such a paradox that as he was losing his voice, more people were willing to like listen to him. And as he was like, as he lost his ability to walk, more people were willing to like follow him. And so he just had like really beautiful things to say. He had a documentary that's on Hulu called Not Going Quietly. He wrote a memoir called Eyes to the Wind, and all of those things are just like available to get to know this person. And I think his charge was also that you would take the information about him and not be like, this was an inspirational person, but to say, oh no, we all can be inspirational people. So,
yeah. And I just want to acknowledge another loss in the entertainment community that a lot of people are feeling, and the loss of Matthew Perry. I'm one of those people that watched Friends and kind of like, I watch it at night when I go to sleep because it's just always on. And he was pretty amazing comedian. And in his personal life, he was dealing with addiction, and he actually recently, well, not recently, but he took pride in being sober and wanting to help others become sober and dedicated his life towards that. And the deaths of those who had experienced addiction in their life kind of hits home to me in a little bit. My mom, I mean, even though it wasn't, it's not a strong substance abuse, but my mother was definitely addicted to smoking cigarettes. And I believe when you are an addict, whatever the substance is, it's very tough on the body. And like, even if you have quit and you've, you know, starting anew and you're starting a new life, it still takes a toll on the body. And so oftentimes deaths come unexpectedly, even though what they're doing well. And that's what happened with my mom. I don't know for sure with Matthew Perry or I mean with Tyler Christopher. But I would say, you know, let's treat those that have this disease, you know, don't, you know, look down on them, treat them, you know, try to be compassionate and empathetic, because it's very tough. It's very tough to deal with. And, you know, so I'm definitely feeling a lot of empathy for friends and the family of those that were close to them, and just praying for everyone. And I hope those who are listening that may be struggling with any kind of addiction, if they, you know, they're able to seek help and support that they can. I'm praying for everyone that's dealing with it. And yeah, it's
a tough. Very heavy start of Sunday shift. But when things like that happen, we like to start with them so that we can then get into the show, because for us and for a lot of other people, we are sure that General Hospital is an escape. And so we're hoping that Sunday shift can also serve as that escape. So you ready to get into Sunday shift and talk about GH for the week?
Yeah.
So we are going to talk about the show, and then we're going to preview the fall previews. So I'm going to give real top lines around what happened this week, and I'm sure that we'll dive into it in our other segments. So this week, TJ stopped Austin from killing his deep voice, bald head cousin. Laura let Ava know Nicholas is still alive, and Ava confronts Austin. Austin probably lies to her. It says he didn't know. Mm-hmm. Austin. Mm. Ava also is selling Windermere, and there is a mystery buyer interested. Adam, who is Mo's son, continues to be a creep. We find out he has high anxiety about his grades and the pressure mm-hmm. of his parents. He is also always close to Joss and Trina's room for some reason. It's weird. Anyway, Eddie Main has a flashback to Ned and Lois's wedding. BOQ signs Blaze. Blaze declined being the face of deception, and Maxie lets Sasha know not only does she still have her job, but that Tracy made sure she kept it. Willow continues to have dreams about Harmony, and Drew is released from Pentonville. Lots of Halloween stuff in Port Charles that culminated in Charlotte deflecting from her group and ending up at Anna's. And in a shock I didn't see coming, Anna shot Charlotte. What a week. What a week. What did you think about it? And what's your favorite moment?
I was thinking that nothing was going to happen this week. Because the way the show was going for the week, it seemed like just kind of blah and fillerish. And so when that happened, the two things happened. Drew coming back and Anna shooting Charlotte, was not expecting either of those. The fact that when Drew walked into the restaurant and saw Carly, I thought Carly was dreaming.
Me too. I thought it was like, this is a dream sequence.
She's just a dream, you know, like she's wishing, you know, imagining it, you know, because that was like so not on the radar. So that was shocking. And then Anna shooting Charlotte is shocking. I'm almost like just as shocking as it was when Austin decided to go ahead and smother Mason. I was shocked at that. I was like, is he imagining himself doing that? And then we get to next week, cut to next week. Actually, he didn't, because TJ stopped him. And so I'm hoping something like that's going to happen with Anna and Charlotte. Like maybe Anna missed or grazed her or something. And so it's shocking. And then that, you know, and that's the extent of it. I'm definitely hoping no matter what that Charlotte is alive. So because that would be such a shame to have her killed off. It was pretty slow up until Friday for me.
Yeah, I thought it was really slow, but not in a bad way. I actually really liked a lot of what was going on. Mm-hmm. And I'll get into that, you know, in my what's working. But I really actually enjoyed seeing the configurations. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't mad about how slow it was. I was like, oh yeah, it's kind of a slow week before sweeps, you know, whatever. Right. And then all of a sudden I was like, like, what just happened? I'm sure other people were also like, oh well, clearly she's going to like miss. I mean, but then I was like, Anna don't miss, you know, like how can Anna miss? But I was like, maybe this is like a dream scene. I don't know what I thought, but I was shocked. And then when you watch kind of the previews for next week, you're like, oh no, she shot her. At the end of the show, you're like, oh, she shot her. So that was really interesting. I would say my favorite moment, just on a petty tip, is every time Michael made Nina uncomfortable.
That was one of the things, but it was for me, I don't want to talk about it a little bit later, but I agree with you that it was hella petty and it was fun on that tip. But I actually didn't quite like it for another reason. But I get that. I'll talk about that later.
I didn't like it for some reasons too, but in the moment, I was cracking up. It was just like the imperceptible.
Mm-mm. He's like, every time, like, no, stop. Don't even think about enjoying this moment. Because you ain't supposed to be here.
And Cynthia Watchos played it so well because it would be like she was just like in the middle of like joy, and then Michael would look at her and she'd be like,
"It's almost like a parent, like when you're on punishment and you hanging out." Mm-hmm. It reminds me of that. Like my mom, if I was in bad straits, my mom would give me a look, and mm-hmm. I'd be like, "Like, don't even think about having fun because you on punishment right now."
It's not gonna last.
It's not gonna last. That's exactly how he's treating her. So
every time it cracked me up. Every time. And I actually just rewatched the week just so I could be refreshed. And I laughed even more the second time around.
Wow.
It was so petty. And like Chad looked like he was like having fun with it, like mm-hmm. even he knew he was being a jerk.
Yeah, he was just like
like even he was amused with himself every time he did it. What about you? What do you have a favorite moment, and who was your performer of the week?
My favorite moment was with Auntie Lolo and Leo. They were yeah. so adorable. I love that they can play math together. And Lois was, I don't know if Lois really is a math whiz, but she had those answers like really quick. And I just thought that whole thing was cute. Leo looked adorable as Einstein.
Yes.
I don't know if Lois was really dressed up or if that's just her outfit for the day, whatever it was. I thought those two together were great. And I guess my performance of the week would go to Rena Sofer. Just because I think she had some great scenes with Leo. She had some great scenes with Eddie. I'm just going to give it up to Rena. Mm-hmm. Just love her. Love her character. Love her interactions with everybody on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to give it up. Because obviously this week was meant for the kids. And so there were some great performances and there were some that were okay. So I'll just shout out to some that really kind of stood out to me. Obviously Easton Rocket Sweet as Leo is always amazing. And I've noticed Little Donna before. Like at the wedding, she was really great. And her name is Scarlett Spears. First of all, I wanted to note that a lot of these kids have similar names to characters on the show. And I think GH, shout out to the actors, because I don't know how they keep everybody's name straight. Because everyone's names are so similar.
Yeah, because Charlotte's name is Scarlett.
Yeah, Charlotte's name is Scarlett. And then you have Little Donna's name is Scarlett as well. Shout out to also the twins that play Avery, Ava and Grace Sarkola. James West, little James, he was off the chain. I loved his little cowboy accent that he had for a little bit and then it stopped. He had a little cowboy accent to go with his Halloween outfit. He was great in that. James West, his name, the actor's name is Gary James Fuller. And so it's crazy. And then shout out to Scarlett and Hudson West, James West. All these names are so similar. It's crazy. So Hudson West for, again, you know, they're doing great with their scenes. I didn't actually know it was Hudson because he got a haircut. So I was like, he was dressed as Einstein. I was like, who is that kid? Because I was like, that's not Hudson. Because Hudson used to have this long hair, you know, mm-hmm. kind of looking a little bit like old school Jason, but he cut his hair. And so I was like, who is that?
But he still looks like Jason.
Yeah, he still looks like Jason with the haircut too. But I didn't recognize it was him. I was like, oh, so Scarlett or Charlotte has a new boyfriend. I was like, where's Jake? Shout out to all the kids. It was really a kids focused week. And so shout out to all of the actors, but those are the ones that kind of stood out to me. Young actors, you guys are getting your shine this week. Congratulations to you all. And I'm hoping to see you all again on Christmas. There's so many children that I couldn't even get them all straight. I had to actually research I was like, who was all playing? Because there's all the kids were out of the attic. They left the attic to go trick-or-treating. And they'll come back for Thanksgiving probably and come back for Christmas. And then we'll never see them again.
Well, I hope that's not true. I really do hope that's not true. Right. I will say, because I want to talk about more about the kids, but I do want to also say something I really liked were just like small interactions with people in their performances. So Ava finding out that Nicholas was alive, like Maura was killed that. There was a part with like Spencer and, I mean, first of all, Cyrus, Jeff Colbert, like, killed me this week. He was so good. I was just dude is like just shuffling around town, being a menace.
Right. I should give him a shout out because I know why I didn't, because I didn't like what Cyrus was doing. I was like, oh, why is he all up in the mix? Go hide somewhere. But obviously he accomplished his goal of being a menace because I was menaced by him.
He was being a menace, and they had the menacing music behind him, too. And I loved that. I was like, what's happening here? I thought that was something on my mic. But yeah, like, but there is no confusion. They don't want the audience to be confused at all that this man is a menace. That, because I think that there was like a point before when he's like talking to Laura, it was like, he's so good and like so convincing that maybe he was like, damn, is he saved? You know what I mean? Like, has he changed? And now they're like, no. We need you to be really clear. This man has not changed. This man is a menace. Doesn't matter how much you like Jeff Colbert, how like charismatic he is. Mm-hmm. Let us go ahead and put this music behind him so that you know this is a bad guy.
Actually, are we into what's working?
Sure.
Yeah, actually, I should also highlight those scenes that he had with Laura. I mean, obviously, those two are so amazing together. That scene was, you know, it was like, he's playing it like, I'm trying to redeem myself here. You got to let me in. This is my family, too. I have every right to see them. But yet, dude, no, because you are dangerous. So why do you feel like you should be able to go and see a baby? You think people would want you to spend time with this baby? Really? So you're really crazy. And Laura was like, here's the thing. When Laura visited him in the prison and he was telling her he's getting out, she kind of went along with it. And I actually talked about that week. I said, Laura, why aren't you reacting more strongly to this? Or at least saying, you know, whatever, dude, you're not getting out ever and I don't want to see you. But she was just like, okay, well, good luck. You know, I was just like, no, not good luck. But this week she was like back to being like, okay, this dude is a menace. I'm not having him in my house. He's not going to be threatening my family. I'm gonna have to do something about him. And she was strong with him and said, you cannot come over unless you're invited. Right. I would have been like, you can't come over. But he said, you can't come over.
Like, you will not be invited.
Right, because you won't be invited. But she did have that bite. But he was also just as menacing by saying, I look forward to the invitation. Meaning, I'm going to leave now, but you better invite me over. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, that scene was amazing. Both of those actors are always amazing.
And always amazing together, for sure.
Together, yeah.
Yeah, I will say, you know, for me this week, a lot of times I have to like struggle to figure out what's working, if I'm being quite honest. Yeah. And I always have a list of things that are not working. And this week I had a lot of stuff that was working and not a lot of stuff that wasn't. And so I was like really excited about that. So I have a list. We brought it up. But first is the kids. Mm-hmm. It is the legacy kids. GH had a baby boom and continues to have these baby booms, and then we never see the babies.
Right.
And this week we saw the babies. When I saw, I mean, you know, I'm an OG J-Sam fan, and though I threw Jason away a long time ago, like, I still have a soft spot. And so when I saw Danny and Jake together, like hanging together, I was so touched, because a lot of times with Jake, we only see him with Cam and Aiden.
Right.
But this time we got to see him with Danny. And I was like, Danny's so cute. And Jake is so, and you know, Jake is so talented and like handsome and like growing up in front of our eyes. We've known Hudson for years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just so good. That really worked. I loved having Georgie there. Tara, who's on the show a lot from Port Misery, she like mentioned when I was talking to her the other day, she was like, it's so cute to see Damian Spinelli's daughter with Jason's son. And I was like, oh, that's too cute. And then just like all of the little kids at Kelly's. I loved Wiley just being like, listen, James, I don't know what your broke ass be doing, but my my grandfather
has a
plane. Okay,
has we a plane, getting, right? Like, he can take us to Canada
on a dime. Okay, on a dime. All right. He said, Wiley was like, we be getting flued out on the PJ. Okay, I don't know. What your broke ass be doing? I know that you used to live in a shoebox apartment and you just got a house. That's not my life. Okay. Like, whole family rich. All right. I know my grandma Carly might have just lost her money, but everybody else got money. And it was just really funny to me. The girls are kind of like gender wars. Michael being like, no, it's all teams. Aiden being like, I'm Switzerland. And like,
see, that was the only jarring thing for me, because Aiden is so, well, he's so much taller and older than the other kids. I was like, he should have been trick-or-treating with the other teens. But I don't know why that was. I mean, maybe they're playing that Aiden really still doesn't like Charlotte. I don't know.
Well, he shouldn't.
He shouldn't, but I'm just like, it just seemed so jarring for, I felt bad for him to be, because I know what that's like as a teen, because all the boys would go hang out together and then we stuck with the kids. And so, but everything else was working well.
Yeah, I do wonder if they're trying to set up that Aiden is kind of isolated, because we do not know anything about him, but that he's baking.
Right.
It's also really weird to have him calling Carly Mrs. Spencer. Carly's his cousin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, Scout calls Carly Carly. And I get that, like, Liz, like, I think they want it to be, like, Liz is, like, raising respectable, like, sweet boys, because all of her boys are, like, you know what I mean? Like, Cam is, like, very sweet and, like, after he had his terrible teen years was, like, you know, pretty much perfect. Yeah. So I wonder if that's part of it. And like, they just wanted to show a little bit of like Aiden being isolated. Yeah. So I wonder if that was happening. I also wanted him to ask Carly himself about being able to put his cakes or whatever. You remember when they were like,
Yeah, he could sell his cakes in the store.
Yeah.
In the restaurant.
Because Liz had bought up. Liz was talking to somebody about bringing it up to Carly. Maybe it was Finn. If you notice, we didn't talk about Finn. But yeah, so she was brought that up. So I was wondering why Aiden didn't do it. Anyway, loved all of that with the kids.
Yeah.
Next thing on my list, families, and like seeing people who we have known to be messy, and like having really like tumultuous relationships with each other, trust each other with each other's kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sam just straight up had Liz's kids.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like,
it's a real community.
When it comes
to kids, like, they're all over at each other's houses and doing things. The parents might have beef, but the kids don't. Well, except for Charlotte. Charlotte has beef with everybody. But all the kids hang out together and they do things together and they trick or treat together. And they party together and sleepovers. That's great. I like that.
Yeah, I loved that. I loved Sam going to Valentine's house and dropping the kids off. Mm-hmm. I loved when Valentine dropped the kids off. He was like, okay, because I don't want to have to deal with your parents. Until you have super spy Valentine, who's like evaded death time and time again, been through everything, who is now like, listen, I'm not trying to be dealing with Sam, Liz, and Maxie. Y'all better act right.
Right. And he was a straight taskmaster. Like, hold up. Like, you got your cell phones on. You got this.
So, like, just thinking about Valentine and Sam's first scene when he was, like, shooting Nicholas out the window, like, that versus, like, her dropping her children off of him just, like, really cracked me up. And then, obviously, like, I love Car Sam. I will say my only caveat is they really need to give Sam a story, because right now we really have mostly only Carly's point of view in the Car Sam friendship. And that sucks. And part of that is because, like, what is Sam going to talk about with her? Like, she doesn't really have a story to move forward, so that she doesn't have much to talk about. But I did love them even acknowledging, like, girl, would you ever have thought, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, that we would be this way?
Yeah.
And just, like, the genuine care, and I feel the very earned nature of their friendship. Mm-hmm. If you go back and watch, like, the Car Sam friendship with Jason's kind of first death off the harbor, is, like, when they started, like, building their friendship together, and it's, like, really grown into what it is now. Mm-hmm. So I just really, really loved that part of it.
Actually, did you have more? I actually have one, too.
Yes, please. I have more, but please.
I am glad, speaking of families and stuff, I'm glad they fixed what didn't work between the Davis sisters. Yes. New Molly now gets along with her sister, and I'm glad they stopped that madness. Maybe it really had something to do with the Scab Riders, and they just, like, okay, this is not working. We finally figured it out. Off screen, the sisters got together and just hashed things out. That's great. I enjoyed that. And there's part of this that I did not enjoy. We'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. But I'm just glad that this whole beef that they had is over.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you definitely see they're going in and trying to kind of correct things. Mm-hmm. Another thing that has to do with Sam, because, you know, obviously Sam stand here. I really loved, I'm so sorry, I loved the foursome with Sam and Dante and Sasha and Cody. Dante talking about Sam has a stud finder already. I said, I know that's right, Dante. I loved the moment the two of them had at the table together. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like they got these two other people there, but they're still in their own little world. Mm-hmm. They're really, like, kind of our slice of life couple, and I know that can't last, and I'm not looking forward to, like, whatever drama they have, but I also know the drama is what gets you more screen time.
Yeah.
But I just loved I just love the little Sante family.
Yeah,
it's so precious.
Getting one of their rooms redone or refurbished, and they're hiring Cody and Sasha to help, or not hiring, but basically getting their help. I thought that was a cute scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like that too.
Yeah, I also love. See, this is what I'm saying. Look at all these things I have. I never have this many things I like. Mm-hmm. I personally love multiple scenes in one location. So mm-hmm. I love the idea of, like, all these people being in a room and then you moving to different tables or different areas to really, like, see what different people are talking about. Because mm-hmm. it shows that the town is, like, bustling, but it also shows that the people are very close. Mm-hmm. And so we get to see more characters. We get to, like, have more going on than having, like, random background actors. You actually get to see people being out and about. And something GH had been missing is, like, how do you build story? Where is the filler that's not just about moving forward plot mm-hmm. that makes us care about the plot? And mm-hmm. I feel like this week we got a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I have Lois.
Oh, yeah, Lois.
Breath of fresh air. Even with Sunny, I enjoyed that scene.
Cooking. She's like, I can cook you. He's like, you're insulting me. I am so and so's daughter.
Gloria's daughter?
Gloria's daughter or something. Like, how you gonna, like, let me go back in the kitchen and cook something? Like, that was good. It was very authentic.
Lois looked at Sunny like he tried to order Domino's or something. Like, it was so funny. Look, I just really, really enjoyed. I enjoy having Lois back. It's something about Lois and Tracy being in the mansion that feels like the Quartermains are back.
I loved how the gossip that she had was actually gossip.
Yeah.
And he was into it. He was like, what?
He was like, the butcher.
There's, what?
Like, what?
Like he lived, like he like 5 minutes away from living there and wanted to know all the tea.
Yeah.
So
it was funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I, like I said, really enjoyed a lot of this week and really use it as an escape. What didn't work this week?
Okay. Speaking of,
you said I'm about to get ready to tell you.
Speaking of the Davis sisters. So I like that the Davis sisters made up. What doesn't work is Alexis constantly nitpicking at Christina, waiting for, like, she's like trying to make sure that Christina doesn't say anything to make Molly upset. And it was annoying because Molly was not upset with her. Like, get with the program. They made up. Let it happen. Roll it off your chest. That's what moms usually do. I don't think Alexis is a good... No, I'm just kidding. I just don't like Nancy LeGrand. But anyway, I just felt like her, you know, kind of telling Christina to, you know, not give an opinion on the baby's name. You know, all this stuff was a little bit too much. She's trying to dampen Christina. And apparently, I mean, Molly has come to terms with Christina being who she is. And so mom needs to step back and just chill. And I think they noticed it too, and they were talking about her. She's like, yeah, mom's just chill out. So, yeah, I didn't like that.
You know, I think that that is so right. And part of the reason it was so annoying is because Molly was really out of pocket for a lot of stuff that she was doing.
Exactly.
So, this, Christina, be quiet, don't say anything, don't do this, don't do that, is like really, was like really making it seem like Molly was in the right for having... like for acting the way she was. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that both of them didn't play a part, but Alexis was acting like it was just Christina, and that was not true.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I didn't like that part of it. Otherwise, I thought it would have been a great scene if Alexis was more relaxed and just enjoying the time with her daughters, and she kind of ruined that for me. I didn't like that, Nancy. I thought... So, like I said at the top of hour, I thought that Cameron Matheson's return was a dream. So, I don't like the sudden nature of it. But now I look back on it, I shouldn't be too surprised because it kind of felt like they were building up to his return. The way they kept talking about it all the time. Like, I hope Alexis doesn't give up. And, you know, that's another thing. Putting it on Alexis, like Alexis was doing something huge. She wasn't really doing all that much, basically. I reread in, you know, the previews, you know, at least from Cameron Matheson's point of view, what it will be like for him to come back all of a sudden. They're going to explain why he's coming back, but I just feel that, you know, it was just very random. And the way they kept talking about it and how it was such a big deal that he was in jail just for him to be released and then no fanfare is a little interesting, a little kind of like anticlimactic, I thought. And then, Michael.
Oh, I wanted to say something about that.
Okay.
I agree with you. And I was just like, I'm tired of him being in jail.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, I'm so tired of the story being about him being in jail and all of that talk.
Yeah,
and so I wonder if it was like the new writers are back
fixing it. Yeah,
or just like fixing with this. They were like, you know what? No, people don't care about this. This actually wasn't a good look for Carly and Drew to be like rich people crying about being in jail. Like, who cares? They're like, he like unfairly sentenced this rich white man.
Who only got 3 years.
I mean, and granted, I think that all of it was stupid. I don't think anybody should be in prison. And I specifically don't think that he should have been in prison for that.
Right.
But this idea that, like, there's, like, a like the same kind of thing. I mean, it was like what they did with Alexis, right? But at least what they did with Alexis in the unfair sentencing, we also got Sean out. This is like, oh, it's so unfair. Like, this Asian judge treats white, rich white men unfairly. Like, who cares? And it also, like, didn't make any sense. Because, like, why would a billionaire with a yacht, like, essentially they were trying to step a Harlan Crow kind of thing, want to put rich white men in jail?
Yeah, it's just weird.
It was like
just
trying to, like, connect. Yeah, it was like trying to rip from the headlines, but it was, it just wasn't giving what they thought it was giving.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michael.
Yeah. So it was already starting to get old with me. I mean, it was, the novelty of it was great. Like you said, the pettiness, but every 5 minutes he was giving her a dirty look. And I was just like, okay, now I don't know how long I'm going to tolerate this little push and pull. Like, I really want Michael to just tell Carly. I would enjoy it more if it was Carly than it was Michael. Like, I want Michael to tell either Carly or Willow and be out of it. So, I mean, as much as it was, you know, fun on the petty tip, it was getting old for me. So it wasn't, you know, I'm hoping it doesn't last for too much longer. Like, yeah. So
I wish he would have told Willow.
Right.
I mean, I think that this is like very clearly trying to set up some like Milo drama, cause they just haven't had any, like not anything that like threatened their relationship outside of, you know, death. Yeah. But I think that that's what they're trying to set up, like melodrama. And I also think this is to the course correction piece. I think they're trying to give Nina like a chance to like get on some other footing, because I think that, I mean, I can't speak for the audience. I think that, you know, you and I never try to speak for the audience, but what I've read, like on a lot of other social media platforms besides Twitter, has been people just hate Nina for a lot of reasons. They feel like she hasn't paid. They feel like whatever. And I think, especially the way Cynthia Watros is playing her and seeing Michael be so out of pocket and wrong, this gives her a chance to like garner some sympathy. And you really do get a chance. Oh, wait, I think, sorry, y'all. Yeah. That might be, is that mine?
No, it was me. Sorry.
Oh. Y'all, we have new mics. Please don't judge as we get used to them. I was like, oh no, is it me? But I do think that this gives Michael a chance to like, or it gives Nina a chance to garner sympathy, because we got to see that Wiley really does love her and that she really does love Wiley. And so when you have these like really sweet family moments, it's easy to forget. Not necessarily forgive, but like when there's like all this time that lapses, you're like, oh yeah, that did happen. So all the stuff that Nina has done is just no longer fresh. People like, it's even, unless you're like an OG Nina hater like myself, like, do you even remember that she was like accusing Willow of cheating with TJ and like barged into her house when she like snooped into Willow's medical records? Like, you don't. So like, right, the longer these like things go on, the easier it is for the audience to be on Nina's side. And if she's going to be there and she's going to continue to be a main character in the way that she is, they can't have her be somebody that nobody really roots for. And so I think this is giving them an opportunity to like shift that a little bit.
I'm tired of it though. So I want there to be a confrontation.
Yeah.
I want Carly to know. And I want Sunny to know. And then whatever they do with it, they do with it. But it needs to happen. But I also think that's another reason why Drew is back, because it'll strengthen the condemnation that she's going to get, the guilt that she's going to feel having Drew in her face. And then
I think it'll lessen it.
Well, I don't know, because it seems like, well, in the SOD, Cameron Mathern's saying that the whole experience changed him. So we'll see how it changed and make him less forgiving or more forgiving. I don't know. But I think I think what they want is to not only have Carly confront Nina, but Drew as well.
And maybe. I agree with you. Yeah. I also just think it doesn't work. Like, the reason, and I think that in general, like, the reason mm-hmm. that things work, like, when you build things up, and this has been GH's problem, that they, like, will just make all these trifling things happen and then nothing comes of it. Mm-hmm. So the only, like, real fallout for Nina is if she loses Sunny or she loses Willow. Mm-hmm. But, like, Carly and Drew already don't mess with her. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, right. it doesn't actually disrupt her life for people that she cares about, and it's just Carly and Drew, then who cares? It just looks like they're whining again. And, like, you actually have to have, like, the payoff of it is actually seeing her here for people who are, like, I'm sorry, let me back up and say, the only thing that worked for her is that Carly was loyal. This whole thing could have led Sunny in jail. Mm-hmm. And truly, Sunny can't have people who are, like, impulsive like that in his inner circle. And so unless, like, they break up, or unless there's, like, some separation between them that they have to, like, work out, then this is all for nothing. Because I don't think that Willow's going to stop messing with her.
See, what I need to happen is kind of like old school GH, when a big secret is dropped. It happens in the middle of a gala or a wedding or something, and everybody's there. Yeah. And then if that secret is dropped in front of Drew, Carly, Eddie Main, and the Quartermains, everybody that was affected by this one little lie, and then they all shun her for a minute, that would be satisfying to me, because that's how GH used to do things.
Right.
And, you know, down from when, you know, Britt had to admit that she was raising somebody else's baby, to, you know, Sunny's castigation of, what was Claudia. Her name? Claudia. I mean, all the stuff usually happens in a big setting, and Nina hasn't had that.
Right.
She was able to quietly come back in town with Sunny, and everybody was so focused on Sunny being back that nobody was just like, made her a town pariah. None of that happened. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I think a lot of Nina haters really want to see, is mm-hmm. her to become a pariah, even if it's just for 10 minutes. Because she hasn't had that. Yeah.
I think that you're right. Like, the resolution and, like, the resolution for people is that they want something big to happen.
Right.
So, like, you know, like, even with when Sunny came back from Nixon Falls, like, how did he come back and it wasn't in the middle of Carly and Jason's wedding? What do you mean? Like, that's wild. He's supposed to push open the door and everybody's like, oh, Sunny's alive. Right. Right.
And they all have a facial reaction. Every single person in the room gets to react. That
everybody,
didn't happen.
Everybody, that's what you want. So right. even, like, unless Nina gets to leverage being Mrs. Corinthos, mm-hmm. there was no reason that they didn't have this secret come out at, like, the wedding in front of everybody.
Right.
Like, there was just no reason. And you still could have had Michael find out. You mm-hmm. could have had, like, the family decide to take, like, a trip to Puerto Rico for her to see it. You could have had all of those things happen with no wedding, and then actually have a big wedding and let that mm-hmm. secret come out.
Yeah.
People want to see the egg on your face. When Franco, I hate even talking about Franco and Carly, but when Franco exposed Carly for cheating on him with Sunny, that gave us the, like, epic Roger Howard's gif of him, like, eating popcorn.
Right.
It gave us, like, Michael running out to go, like, find Sunny. Like, mm-hmm. it was, like, a big moment. Carly was humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Michael got mad at her. He was done. Mm-hmm. And then he went to go find Sunny. So, yeah. like, that is, I think, what people really, really want.
Mm-hmm. Even Valentin had that happen to him when yeah. he was exposed for lying about Sasha. It happened at the wedding, and mm-hmm. Nina did it. And so everybody has had their big comeuppance in front of the crowd, and Nina needs to have that. Then she will be a true character of General Hospital.
There you go. I agree.
Right?
I agree. 100%.
Right. So, writers, pay attention. I know you're watching the show, so maybe not.
Chris and Dan are back. Hit us up.
Hit us up.
Other things not working, I have a couple more.
That's it for me. Go ahead. I'll probably agree with you.
Fizz.
Oh, yeah. I even forgot they were on this week. Did you even highlight them in the highlight?
Nope.
So, yeah, were they on? It was the Monday after, right?
I think they were on Monday and Tuesday.
Oh, whatever.
It was because they had sex on Monday.
Was it on Monday or Friday?
Maybe I watched Friday instead of Monday. Either way, they don't work. It's a no for us, dog. I think they want a hospital couple. And this is funny. I'm going to bring in another thing because I was just happening to be chatting with Tara about the show. So back in the day when we had more hospital stuff, it was like we also had the mob. And the mob was really dangerous. And so because the mob was really dangerous, we had to also have the hospital because the hospital was popping because the mob was dangerous. Because
folks were getting shot and all that stuff.
Folks were getting shot. Folks were having brain tumors. Like, it was the hospital was popping. And you had it, like, anchored by Patrick Drake and by Robin Scorpio. Mm-hmm. Like, OG legacy. People watched her grow up on screen. Robin Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that with this hospital. Nobody cares about Finn. People might like Michael Easton. I'm not saying Michael Easton doesn't have fans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Finn, as a character, truly has fans. Because why would he?
Can I make a note of something?
Sure.
Michael Easton and then Easton Rocket Spina. I mean, oh my God, these people have similar names. Okay.
They do. But I mean, like, maybe when Finn was with Anna, there was like fans who like Finn and like whatever. But what is Finn doing that people should like at this point? Anything that they're doing?
The only story he has is the story about his dad in the ALS. And no one cares about that because no one cares about the dad.
No.
Yeah.
And people cared about Chase's reaction more than they care about Finn.
Mm hmm.
So it's like trying to anchor the hospital with them. It's like the hospital couple, they're not a good couple, and the hospital not popping enough for us to even need that. And if you're going to have a hospital couple, I want it to be TJ and somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't work. It's not good.
No.
It was... Get out of here. Esme and Ace being a Sabrina barrier does not work. These characters, by virtue of just who they are on paper, have natural barriers, right? Like, that is part of what makes them, like, on paper, an excited couple. Like, she is the young, like smart, artsy, got it all together girl. And he is kind of like the brooding, like, nepo baby, like, who is, like, trying to figure it out, who's, like, gone through so much, who has all these family issues, and they've gotten together. There's so much natural drama for these two that is about who they are as characters, not about Esme and not about Ace. There's race, money, there's class privilege, like, there's all these kind of things that could be natural drama between them. It's Trina having to work her way through school while Spencer's a trust fund kid. It's so much stuff that's, like, natural for them. And why is it always on Spencer's side? He made some statement about, like, guys trying to get at Trina, but where is the guy who was, like, for real trying to get with Trina that makes Spencer jealous because he doesn't have it together? Where's her study buddy that now Spencer has to be like, oh, I don't like this guy? Because I see what they're trying to do with Adam, which also doesn't work. But, like, I see what they're trying to do with Adam and Jex, but Jex don't even care about Adam. Like, Dex ain't never looked at that boy as anything but like a nag. He don't even look at him with no jealousy. He be like, oh, hey.
He called him little buddy.
Hey, little buddy. Like, there's a super cut.
That was the best thing ever. I loved it.
There's a super cut of Jocelyn, like, slamming the door in this boy's face.
Right.
Like, there's no drama there to even believe that, like, and I don't even know if this boy cares about Jocelyn in that way or if he's just obsessed with somebody else. But, like, where is that person who Trina is kind of looking at, like, dang, he got his stuff together. And Spencer got Ace and this and Esme and this baby. And I'm not saying that this is who she gets with, but I'm saying that this is somebody who lights a fire under Spencer. That makes way more sense than having to constantly watch Trina feel like she's playing second fiddle to like this baby. I'm tired of it. So that doesn't work for me. On the flip side, I did laugh a little bit during the Sabrina dance scene. Mm-hmm. I was like, why is there so much space between them the first time I watched it? But then I watched it again. I was like, oh, because what they're trying to get is like for them to be like gazing lovingly in each other's eyes. And so if it's that part, that looks really sweet. But they need a director who like actually plays around more with their height difference.
Because yeah.
If you remember their first kiss, like she got on her tiptoes. I would have loved for her to like be like, you know what, you're so tall, I'm gonna go get a stool. And for her to like get a stool and like stand with him. I think we've seen this on soaps before. Maybe Greenlee did it with Leo because they also had like a big height difference. But her getting like a stool to stand and like them just making a joke out of it so that they can actually play a little bit more with their height difference. So the second time I watched the scene, I liked it a lot more because I was like, oh, I get what they're trying to do now. But the first time I was like, why is it all this distance? It's so weird. So I just want them to do better by that couple for those two things.
I think it would be really funny if she would always hop up.
Yeah.
Every time so she can get that.
I mean, she looked beautiful as a...
Well, that was my hot take, was that she looked so cute. And Spencer looked unrecognizable because when he knocked on the door and was like, I was like, who is this? Because his facial hair and the wolf thing, it matched totally. And they painted his nose so his nose looked different. I was just like, who is that? I was like, that's not Spencer. And then when he talked, I was like, oh, okay. Because I was just like, they did him out very well.
They did.
And her outfit was super adorable and cute. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. They were really cute. I love a matching Halloween outfit. Mm-hmm. And I thought that theirs was like perfect and also like spoke to like how she is like sweet and got all her stuff together and he's kind of a mess. I really did think the outfits together were really cute.
Yeah. Okay.
Do I have anything else that's not working? Nope. Adam was the last thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, get him out of here.
I
will say that I don't mind them getting more people in that age range, right? Mm-hmm. Like in that young adult like age range. It's not even that people have to have full stories, but they could be more steady buddies. Like, but the fact that Adam has gotten more point of view and mm-hmm. like more of a story than like Sam, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Anyway. Hot takes.
I'm liking, yes, to Lois helping kickstart Eddie's memories because it's time to wrap it up. And so I'm glad that she's helping boost that along. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why hasn't Sunny just deposited some money in Sasha's account? When she was like worried about money, I'm like, okay, so you did all of this, you keep Gladys out of town, and so now what? Sasha can't claim fraud or anything.
Right. Like, why can't she get her money back?
Nothing. It just...
Or demand it. Or that's what Sunny could do, is demand that Selena give back, you know, Sasha's money.
That, or he could ask how much Selena, how much Gladys has paid Selena.
Oh, right.
And then just like, quietly wire it into Sasha's account. There's right. no way, especially because Sunny like let Gladys just go, mm-hmm. that we should ever see Sasha worried about money ever.
Right. Yeah. And it's his cousin's fault that Sasha's suffering right now. So he should pay that debt.
Her fault, and he let her go.
And he let her go. Yep. What did I write? I was previously Team Austin and Ava, but now that he's bald-faced lying to her, it's not cool. Mm-hmm. So I don't like it now, and I'm hoping Ava tears him a new one, because she hasn't gotten to get her revenge on anything that's happened. She's been just the victim, and that's it. I need her to get her mojo back and kick some ass. And Austin, it's gonna have to be you, because you're lying directly to her. You could have been a co-conspirator and said, okay, I'm gonna come clean. Yes, Cyrus is pulling the strings, and yes, Nicholas is alive. We should go and get him. No, he's like, no, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you're talking about. So that's why you deserve to get your ass kicked too now, unfortunately. I loved Roger Howard and Ava together, but he's tripping, and so he's gonna have to go. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, sorry, Roger Howard. Mm-hmm. And I love you.
I get it.
But not Austin. He couldn't even be mad enough to kill his cousin.
Ooh. Well, TJ stopped him.
I know, still.
Otherwise, he would have committed that murder. I love that even though Jocelyn ain't really messing with Sunny, she certainly offered out his murder services to Trina.
Right. Right.
She said, listen, I love Trina more than anything. And if Trina needs somebody dealt with, I'm going to go tell Sunny about it. It's Trina had to be like, girl, no. No.
Jocelyn don't care. At the end of the day, what she wants done, she's going to get done. She definitely is a little like Curly like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What else did I have? Okay. Again, harmony with talking and not talking. It's annoying. I need her to leave. And you know what? I also have a theory. They want us to think Harmony is warning her about Nina, but I think Harmony is actually warning her about Michael.
I think so too.
So, and that's why it's hard for Willow to hear, because she don't want to have anything going on with her marriage. So she's jumping to the conclusion that it's about Nina, but really it's about your boo. He's lying to you, girl.
Yeah, I think it's about Michael too.
Mm-hmm.
I love that even Cyrus knew that Carly in that white dress moment was iconic.
He's like, yeah, that white dress though, that was amazing.
Cyrus is like, that was indeed iconic, Miss Spencer.
Yes.
Love and it was.
And I and love that Nina's not having it with him. But, well, not Nina, but Carly. Love that. And her hair was looking fly. As usual. That's all I have for our hot takes.
Oh, I have a couple more, only because I just rewatched it. Mm-hmm. I love that Sam was acting broke. Like, all I got is a couple beers and pizza. Sam, you got money. You could order sushi. Like, stop it. Cyrus was like an aggressive Christian. Like, when he confronted Spencer, Spencer was like, calm down.
That's right. He was.
That like, Nicholas Chavez line delivery, like, really took me out.
He's like, calm down.
Calm down. I laughed when Scott called Robert Crocodile Dundee. So petty. Yeah. I was like, did Ken ad-lib that?
Probably. It sounds like something he would just add into it. That was great. Because it was so natural.
It was. I loved... Oh, wait. Nope. I messed that up. Ch-ch-ch. I guess that's mostly it. Oh, I love when Carly said half the people I care about have rap sheets. She also said, I know who you are. Mm-hmm. You're a monster.
You're a monster.
I know that's right.
Yep.
So. Speaking of things that we're tired of, I'm tired of Eddie Mayne and that one ass song.
Right. Finish the song.
Finish it.
Or get your memory back. So that's what needs to be a part of the big reveal. Mm-hmm. I bet they're all in a ballroom together and Michael's getting ready to drop the details, and then all of a sudden Eddie Mayne wakes up as Ned and Ned's like, you did it, and points her, and everyone's like,
oh, we should make this show. My speculation, and this is moving, I want to jump back, but I will say so I don't forget, my speculation is that Ned comes back, mm-hmm. gets his memory, exposes Nina, maybe mm-hmm. to her, and mm-hmm. then she's like, or in front of people, and then she's like, did Michael tell you? And everybody's like, Michael knew?
Michael.
Yeah, that's what I want to happen.
And then Willow gets all upset. Michael, right. Why didn't you tell me? And she's more upset at Michael than she is at Nina.
That's what I speculate mm-hmm. is happening. That happened. Mm-hmm. I was like confused when BLQ was like, she wanted a mundane and predictable life. I'm like, girl, but you're going into the music industry. So how? 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 I don't get it. It was weird.
Maybe that's mundane in New York or in Port Charles. Maybe. What is mundane in Port Charles? Halloween. The Halloween was mundane, but it was great.
Well, mundane is what Charlotte got shot. I loved Danny. So like when they were at Valentine and Charlotte's house and they were talking, and Danny kind of took charge. Mm-hmm. And then Valentine was like, the mob has spoken. I was like, not the mob. Not Jason's kids and the mob. He goes like two on the nose. When Trina said, you're not texting Esme about Ace, are you? Stop it.
Yeah, stop.
I hate that that's a barrier for them. They need to get more, the writers need to get more creative about giving them real barriers.
Right.
And then finally, want to talk a little bit about Charlotte before we get to the previews. First of all, why is Kevin seeing Charlotte?
The family discount.
Like, is that ethical?
It's the family discount,
I guess. I love Charlotte being like to Anna, I'm glad you finally got a place of your own. That was so out of pocket. I'm like, damn, Charlotte.
She know good and well Dad wanted her to live there.
And I was also wondering why Anna was so insistent on mm-hmm. like not having a bodyguard, not having Robert help her, all of that. So clearly it was like done
right.
To like make this moment, but it just like didn't make sense. Like, so Anna drops like or loses her keys, knows everything that's going on, and doesn't think, let me change these locks. She's just like, it's right. fine. I can get a new key made. Not a lock change.
Yeah.
What?
It was all set up and a little sloppy, but there you
absurd.
Go.
Absurd. I'm really mad because I know that Anna's not going to be able to forgive herself, and she's not going to be able to forgive Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
And if Valentine is mad at Anna, I'm going to lose my mind.
I think he's just going to be, well, we just need to find out if Charlotte is actually shot first, because he just might be horrified at that.
I believe she was shot because we see Jake come in. I think that we can operate under the assumption that she was shot. Now, I don't know if it's serious. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't know. But I'm operating under the assumption that she was actually shot. We can move forward into fall previews and talk a little bit more about that. So the first fall preview is Anna and Valentine. A life-changing event rocks Anna and Valentine's relationship to its core. Anna gets a surprise visitor.
Robin.
Ooh, I would love that. Or Emma.
Yeah, or Emma, yeah.
Though I love that actress, she's still, I think that they would recast if Emma came back, and then that would be somebody who would join the Jocelyn, Trina, Spencer set.
Yeah.
I'm also, I know that Anna was talking a lot about this, was it Forsyth? Somebody from the WSB. It was somebody
Forsyth.
Forsyth. She was talking. I wrote it down wrong. That was autocorrect. I was like, Forsyth? What's that? Forsyth. Laura remains convinced that Charlotte wasn't the person who burned down Anna's house.
Right.
So I do wonder if it was this Forsyth who did that.
Yeah. I think Valentine is too ready to believe that it was Charlotte that burned down the house. I think it's a combo of Forsyth and Charlotte that's messing with Anna.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, because like with this whole situation, what is going to come out? Like once we find out Charlotte's been shot and all that, what is going to have to be said by, like, is Valentine going to have to expose that it was Charlotte at the Metro Court? Mm-hmm. Is it going to come out that Nina knew? Like, what's going to be exposed from that?
Mm-hmm.
This one has all the names. Sunny, Nina, Carly, Drew, Michael, Willow. Lord. Sunny and Carly are suspicious of Nina's business proposal. Carly remains determined to find out who implicated her and Drew to the SEC. Meanwhile, Michael and Willow clash over Nina, and Drew tries to enlist Michael to make a power move. Let's break it down all the way. I wonder if what they're suspicious of, because one of the things that Michael is like blackmailing Nina with is that she sell the Metro Court back to Carly. So I wonder if that's something that, if like she tries to do that, and Sunny and Carly are like, what?
Yeah, I think that's probably it. And I don't know if Carly's going to accept, because she's happy with running the little restaurant now. And it would be kind of suspicious, because she has done it before. Nina has offered to sell it back to Carly, I believe.
Only when she offered to help her buy it.
Help her buy it. But
when she bought it, she wouldn't sell it.
Right.
Yeah, once she bought it, she wouldn't sell it. Because when she bought it, even Olivia was like, let me just buy your half.
Yeah.
Because Olivia was going to buy it before Nina did. Carly remains determined to find out who implicated her and Drew to the SEC. Whatever. Michael and Willow clash over Nina. We talked about that. Do you have any other thoughts about that?
No, I think you're right that Willow's generally getting closer to Nina. And once, like I said, in my dream reveal, I think once Willow finds out, she's going to be more mad at Michael than she is going to be at Nina.
Yeah, because even like the like warning from Harmony,
mm-hmm.
like Nina technically didn't do anything to Willow. She did it to Drew and Carly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the like.
I think though, because they forgot, they're not stressing this as much, but one of the things that Willow asked Nina when she was recovering is to leave Carly alone.
Right.
So if she finds out, well, unless the writers forget this, when she finds out that at that time, Nina was making that promise, but she held a secret that she was actually sabotaging Carly. Maybe that will make Willow upset. But right now, they're playing it off that Willow and Nina are so close that it will be Michael that she's more upset with than Nina. So I don't know if they're going to make Willow remember what she had made Nina promise. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I remember it.
Right. So, I also wonder if Willow is going to be mad, like, you let Wiley get close to Nina and, like, mm-hmm. love Nina. And now, right. I have to make this decision about, you know, how much time
taking, with yeah, him. Taking yeah. him away.
And I have no idea about what Drew is going to enlist Michael to do, but it's probably something with ELQ though.
Mm.
Especially because Tracy now has Lucy's share.
Mm-hmm.
So I do wonder, you know, what's going to happen. Because Valentine is still CEO of ELQ.
Yeah. I was just going to say, yeah, Valentin is still the CEO, and he really hasn't been at work because he's been so focused on Charlotte. So,
and he was fake dead before that.
Right. So I think it's going to be about Valentin again.
Yeah. Ned, Lois, Olivia. Eddie is involved in an accident with major implications for his future and for Olivia's, and his memory returns in dramatic fashion. Lois's mom, Gloria, returns for Thanksgiving with a secret that makes waves for Lois and Brooklyn. The Quartermain's...
Oh, go ahead.
She just says, the Quartermain's Turkey Day is one for the books.
That is going to be interesting. I wonder what the secret is.
I don't know.
But it's interesting.
I am interested. I'm also like, the more secrets that are coming out, the closer it feels like the secret of Dex will come out as to like how he got there. So I keep wondering, like, what is it going to be that makes Sunny not kill Dex? Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, like, I mean, obviously I've been rooting for him to be Dante's kid. I'm mm-hmm. wondering if there's like something else. Maybe Mama Cirillo knows Dante's baby was out here somewhere and it was Dex. Just continuing to push my agenda.
Who would be Dax's mama, though? That's the question.
Just kidding. Or not. Austin, Ava. Dante grows suspicious of Austin. Austin decides to come clean with the cops. Ava is on a warpath after she discovers a betrayal.
She already is a little bit, I think, on the warpath, but I wonder if there's another betrayal that we don't know about.
I think Cyrus and Nicholas are the people trying to buy Windermere.
Ah. That's yeah, because the big mystery, it's like, it's either Nicholas trying to buy back Windermere or Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be.
But they're in cahoots.
Yeah. Ooh. So Cyrus ends up moving into the mansion. And everyone fears that he really owns it, but maybe it's Nicholas who owns it and just letting Cyrus hang out there. That maybe. Would cause a lot of chaos.
Yep.
No more Halloweens on the island because that's where Cyrus is. Mm-hmm. And or he tries to pull a let me get back in the good graces of Port Charles and have a Christmas bash at Windermere and then have a baby Jesus ceremony. That would be hilarious.
I'm interested.
He invites everybody, to the baby Jesus ceremony. All the kids can be in the play. And then he comes down as the magnanimous rich man. The poor Charles.
What a mess. I would love it, though. I would love it. Because Jeff would kill it. I was cracking up when he like came into Kelly's. I was like, look at him and Carly having a hair off.
That would have been funny if she were like, yeah, I like your haircut. He's like, I'm just trying to be like you, Carly.
That's if black people wrote.
Right.
I'm just trying to get like you.
It's you.
Spencer Trina Esme. As Esme decides to strike out on her own, Spencer's devotion to Ace causes tension between Spencer and Trina.
Mm-hmm. Next.
Molly, TJ. Molly and TJ encounter a new obstacle in their surrogate journey.
Next.
Breakup.
Right.
Thank you, next. Christina and Blaze. Blaze shares more about herself with Christina. What I loved.
That
what
I am an Alcazar. Daddy Alcazar never, got killed by your aunt.
It literally had never occurred to me until we did the live and people put that in the chat that she might be Lila Ray Alcazar. Now, yeah. I don't know if that's even possible. I don't know.
I would enjoy it if it was. And then Alcazar could come back. And whatever form he is in, whether it's the uncle, the dead uncle, the twin brother, whatever, cousin, all the Alcazar men looking alike, that's fine.
Ted King, like, we Ted need King you. Ted King
can come back.
I would love it. Cody and Sasha open up about their feelings. Cody is offered a new professional opportunity.
Whatever. Cody, get out.
Sody is like trying to bring me in. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Tanya. It's trying to bring me in because I'm so happy to see Sasha happy.
I'm happy to see her happy too.
I know. Sophia is just so good. She really has truly made every pairing work. I really liked her. I mean, I think that her and Michael are the superior pairing, to be quite honest. I liked her with Brando, didn't think I would. Mm-hmm. And this is like slowly chipping away at me. Finn and Liz. Elizabeth is a source of support for Finn when he must reckon with a professional crisis.
So it's not even about his dad. It's a professional crisis. That's so stupid.
It's not even about Liz. And I mean, you know, I'm not a Liz fan. I've never been a Liz fan. I love that I say this every time we talk about her. But like, let me go on record. But I understand the importance of that character. And I understand that Becky has like earned her like point of view. So like, why is she in this? And why is she in this relationship that we never, like, it's always been all about Finn. Even the stuff that was supposed to be about her became about Finn. Damn, why she gotta keep doing it? Why she gotta keep giving this man story?
This does not work. This does not work. Does not. This does not work.
We need Eddie Mayne to put that to a beat. Because that's like get that. Get in the studio with that. Get in the studio with that.
Drop a beat, y'all.
Jocelyn gets more drawn into troubled Adam's orbit.
Why?
Thank you. Next. Because it's also like I love it's like also it says it's a Jocelyn, a Dex Jocelyn Adam spoiler. And again, like I said, Dex has looked so unbothered by that little boy. The level of unbothered Dex is by this little boy is just
it's comedy.
Yes. Laura must reckon with trying to save Charlotte from Victor's influence while also keeping a close eye on the potential threat of Cyrus.
No, I want Cyrus to be, you know, either Santa Claus or put on a Christmas play. I want him to do it big. And everybody goes thinking it's some, you know, weird new benefactor. And all along, it's Cyrus.
It's a like a Christmas pageant. You want Christmas like the baby pageant. Jesus.
Yes, and you everything. I want it all done. Oh, the kids come out and then all of a sudden, Santa Claus comes down and it's Cyrus. And everyone's like,
hilarious. Yeah. And the final one, Curtis decides to resolve some unfinished business while Portia is a source of support for TJ.
Oh, because he's going through a crisis over the surrogacy. But why Portia?
Because
why not his
crack,
mama?
Because my crack ship is on the way.
Uh-oh.
PJ.
Oh my goodness.
Give it to me. Give me PJ. I want it. It's so trifling. I would love, and it would look so good if we got Portia taking down TJ. Let's go. I want it.
All of a sudden, he's like, I know my uncle ain't doing it for you.
Like, it would be so messy. It would be so messy. Can you imagine Jordan's response?
All of a sudden, working a late night in the hospital, tensions are rising. They're in a changing room, in the locker room, and all of a sudden, clothes is just ripped off.
There we go.
And it's steamy and it's hot. And then at the end, they're looking at each other with regret, but with more longing.
Yes. You just wrote it.
Ooh, I did.
Let's do it. Oh. Give it to me. Give me the mess. I want to see it.
That would be so messy.
Oh, I have one more thing to say that I had in my hot takes. I'm going through, and what I do is I always just like strike through. Something I was going to say, because about how much I loved the kids, is like to pick up on a thread that we talked about during the live, which is this idea of legacy kid and why, like how GH like disappears, like black characters and characters of color. Because when you look at who the legacy kids are, there are still no legacy kids of color.
All white.
All white. And so like you end up, and so I know that there's like conversation. I've had the same conversations about like Trina sometimes like feeling like a sidekick to Josh, so like that's the way they were treated. And part of the reason is because a lot of times when people are brought on to be a part of like a scene or a set, they are the sidekick. And so Trina became a main character because of like Sydney Michaela's very hard work to make her a main character. And then, you know, like it became, and then Tatiana like picked up the baton and like is doing a great job. But they shouldn't have had to do that because they should have already been grounded and like coming from a family. So when we see Danny and Georgie together, we're like, oh, Jason's kid and Spinelli's kid together. When we see James, we're like, oh, look at how he's acting like Maxie. Like there's already that rooting value because we know them and we know their families. And so here we are about to enter a whole nother teen set that doesn't even have that. And so I just wanted to like point that out. I had it in my notes. I just wanted to like point that out and talk about why it's important to like ground and root characters of color to the canvas so that what we have, and we're so happy to see these legacy kids, it was one of my favorite parts of the week, we're able to have like not all white legacy kids.
Yeah.
That was my last thing. I wanted to make sure I said it.
All right. Noted. All right.
Do you have anything else? Those were the fall. I should have said that. Those were the fall previews from Soap Opera Digest. We just went into them. I didn't even say where we got them from.
Speaking of Soap Opera Digest, I did want to make a note of an article, which I think is super important, that it's been on everyone's mind. Lollipop Guild and how that happened. So there was a little blurb in Soap Opera Digest, and they titled it The Candyman Can, and they talked about the actor Nathaniel Gray, who talked about the fact that the reason why Mason now has a sweet tooth is because the writers appreciate the acting that he does whenever he's eating. And so they felt like they needed to have him be in scenes where he's eating, and like, well, oddly enough, it happens to be a lollipop. So now the lollipop is a thing. It wasn't something that he made up. It was something that the writers gave to him, and he's enjoying it because he also has a sweet tooth, but he doesn't. Now he only eats lollipops on set because it's too much. Well. So that was an interesting point, because I know we were all, it was all burning in our hearts to understand why he's eating lollipops all the time.
Deep voice boyhead cousin.
Right.
preview for next week. Monday. Sam and Dante voice their concerns. If you look on abc.com right now, there is a scene where Sam and Dante sit down and talk to Danny. So that is up there for you. Finn is uneasy. Esme makes a confession. Chase puts his foot in his mouth. Valentine is horrified. As far as Esme's confession, I believe it's a proper digest. We find out that Esme is going to tell Laura about her feelings for Spencer.
What is it that Chase is putting his foot in the mouth on?
Who knows? Tuesday, Sunny offers Anna support.
Why?
Right.
Okay.
Robert offers an explanation. Gregory helps Alexis with an ethical issue. Sam is overjoyed. Curtis gets valuable advice. Wednesday, Tracy makes an announcement. Michael is relieved. Austin is cagey. Sunny shares shocking info with Ava. Sasha tries to mend a broken bond.
Maybe between Cody and... Well, no, because Mac's going to be off screen for a while.
Yeah, I don't know who it is.
Okay.
Thursday, Olivia jumps into action.
I know who it is now.
Who is it?
I'm thinking Brooklyn and Maxie.
Oh, probably. That makes sense. Olivia jumps into action. Lois cautions Brooklyn. Spencer feels betrayed. Dante briefs Anna and Sunny. Valentine treads carefully. Friday, Alexis and Blaze get acquainted. Trina doesn't mince words. Elizabeth vents to Laura. Anna is blindsided. Olivia has reason to celebrate.
The first one was Alexis and Blaze gets acquainted. Blaze goes and visits the woman that kills our uncle. Okay.
Yes. I love that we're pushing this agenda. Blaze as Sage Alcazar.
Right.
Oh, wait, not Sage Alcazar. Lila. Lila Ray. Sage Lila Ray. So I was like, Sage is dead, actually.
Yes. Lila would have a lot of beef with poor Charles. Her family has been through it in that city.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have come to the end of the show. We want to thank you so much for listening to us. Again, like, subscribe, share, tell your people about us.
And comment.
We'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.